The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the world-famous K-Rock.
Good morning. Welcome to your K-Rock with your Klein Alley show, a show full of tributes to the great Ozzy Osbourne. Maybe not necessarily what I would consider, you know, in the K-Rock power rotation of artists, but if you think of all of the artists that we play at K-Rock that were inspired directly by or have played with, performed with Ozzy, it's, I would imagine it's every single artist we play on this radio station at some point was inspired by stuff that Ozzy did.
Oh, yeah. Look at the ones I just listed. I mean, Tom Morello, Jack White, yep. Billy Corgan. Many, many K-Rock artists have been tributizing him over the last 24 hours.
So, Billy Corgan on with us a little bit later. He was a part of that final show as well. And that's something that I can look forward to. We should, though, if we're going to point fingers, and usually when someone dies, you go through the stages of grief, the acceptance and the anger. If you need anger, let's go ahead and point it where it belongs, and that is on Allie, because I wasn't here, so I can take no credit for this, but on the day that I was out, I think last week, Allie officially did her mushing, which she's done to many celebrities before. And there's so many calls here accusing you of being the reason that Ozzy is no longer with us, including this.
Yeah, I don't know if Allie has something to do with Ozzy. I think she said something about him mushing him, but I'm calling to request Vanessa to sing some Ozzy's greatest hits.
Oh, well,
that's what we need.
A lot of people
right
would like Vanessa to sing some Ozzy's greatest hits, but let's focus on some of the mushing that Allie did first.
God damn, you guys have done it again. You mushed the Prince of Darkness, bro. Come on. The Prince of Darkness. Ozzy.
Now, Allie claims, and there's a bunch of other people that are saying that Allie was the official mush. I mean, so much so that
look, everyone knew that he was not well.
Yeah, but you said something on the radio that I think is what you always do, where you say someone like, "Oh, you know what? But I think they're going to be just fine." You always say something.
I never said I thought he was going to be just
fine.
I'll
play the audio in a second. Here's another accusation.
Hey guys, he did it. So, go ahead and listen back to Allie reporting on the news on July 7th. Great job, Allie. You did it again. You reported on the death of Ozzy Osbourne. You even predicted that you would be reporting on his death within the coming week.
I did.
So, great job. You did it again, Poogers. All right, we did. Cheers.
So, I'll play for you the audio that Allie said.
Do you think he would do a farewell show unless he knew that he was close?
How many farewell shows have the Rolling Stones done?
I'm not talking about the Rolling Stones. I'm talking about Ozzy Osbourne going, "Hey, I know the end is near. I'm going to do one final show, and it will be my last."
You can judge for yourself. Allie said something on the airwaves on July 7th of 2025. And only because you have a track record of mushing people, and I don't even remember all of the people you've mushed. I know Malcolm Jamal Warner was on the list.
No.
It was a long...
You
probably have. We'll have to find that audio. But after System, we're going to play you some audio, which I think is technically evidence.
So you can
listen to this, and then we will give you some more MyChem tickets.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on K-Rock. K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. If you need us or want things, the number is 800-520-1067. I'm going to play this audio in a moment. You can decide for yourself. Did Allie truly mush the Prince of Darkness? Allie's now being referred to as the Angel of Death on the text line. So, Prince of Darkness, meet Angel of Death. But I understand that for some people, and Jake was out talking to people. He was by the Ozzy Star in Hollywood. He was at his bar where he went and watched. I mean, that's Jake's world. That's Jake's community right there. Although, I will be fair, Jake wears a lot of concert shirts. I've never seen him wear a Black Sabbath or an Ozzy shirt. Mostly Tool.
Yeah, they play that show, though.
I know. They played that show. Everything's like 6 degrees to Tool in Jake's world. But it's a sad game.
Man. I'm not going to say anything.
This person, yeah.
I was going to say something about Tool dying.
Go ahead. Say it. Go ahead.
We'll just wait for a member of Tool to die, and then Jake is going to be front and center. He's going to have every single story about every show he's ever seen because he's got one of those like nerd photographic memories.
You're absolutely right. That's going to be a long conversation
God
with
damn
Jake.
Ellie.
Sorry, Tool.
Sorry, Tool.
All of them. Ba-bow, bow.
Here is, I'm going to play this audio for you. This happened. I wasn't here. Allie was here. I don't even think Omar, you haven't heard this either because you were off that day as well, I believe.
It was just me and Vanessa rolling up on this one.
Oh, my God. So that's just further proof that you are the mush. This is what Allie claimed on the airwaves of this radio station on July 7th.
We now live in a world where Ozzy Osbourne no longer performs.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But she claimed, I'm going to let
did
this
his last show
in its entirety, and here's what she said.
He is officially done. He did his last live performance with Black Sabbath in Birmingham over the weekend. Birmingham, where he's from, where the band started in 1968. So almost 60 years of music and touring. One of the most famous heavy metal bands of all time. Ozzy Osbourne is 76, going on 140. He has looked 100 for the last 20 years, and I think we're all amazed he's even still alive. And are we not amazed? Sure, if you're listening to this, you're thinking, wow, Allie, good job mushing Ozzy Osbourne. You're probably going to be reporting on his death tomorrow.
Wow. I mean, that is like the power that you have is kind
of... Come on!
Allie truly
is...
The angel of death. Do not let her name...
No, it's you.
If your name hits her lips... Consider your days very numbered. She's like a living, breathing Final Destination movie.
Look, I said myself, I'm sure after I have said this, something is going to happen. But he did last a couple weeks longer than I predicted.
But you not only mushed him, you called the mush and then pre-apologized for the mush. It's
sure, if you're listening to this, you're thinking, wow, Allie, good job mushing Ozzy Osbourne. You're probably going to be reporting on his death tomorrow. But imagine being one of the people in the audience of that final performance.
So, listen, I don't need to play any more of this, but the damning evidence that you truly are. You have a mush power about you.
Were we not all thinking to ourselves, how is this guy still alive? Come on. I mean, even 10 years ago, the guy looked like he was on the verge of death all the time. You have to admit that.
Lived a good life. I was excited to see him when he was supposed to play at a Power Trip in the desert a few years back, and he pulled out of that show. I was all bummed out.
Right.
Really wanted to see him there. But...
And then you think to yourself, is this the last show he was going to do? You know, like
never
maybe
know.
I'll never get to see him, and you didn't, never did.
Well, anyway, it's been an emotional day in the world of music for sure.
I don't think
hey,
that counts.
It's not a direct message yet, but we'll soon be. You know, you guys have gotten me through a lot of hard times right now, and much love to you. Love you guys. Bye.
Well, that's why we're here, to get to create the hard times and then get you through them. That is what we do on this show. And, you know, Jake was talking to so many people, Allie. You won't believe, you know, he was talking to, obviously, fans, hardcore fans, you know, big. Everyone was wearing their Ozzy merch. I don't know how people were able to change so quickly in the middle of the day.
909 said, Allie, can you please praise my ex-wife and talk about how wonderful of a mother she is? That's what the person might be going through. 714, my wife texted into your show and Allie read it, and now I just found out she has breast cancer. Thanks,
okay.
Allie.
Allie, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Hey, don't try to weaponize Allie mushing.
Wow, Allie really does know the news.
She creates it.
She creates
it's
it.
Really...
Cougar Thomas, I'm being called.
Jake was in the streets talking to people yesterday, and you know what, Allie? One of the finest tributes we actually got from our very own Moist Joyce.
Oh,
he
lovely.
What's going on?
Joyce, what are your feelings about the news of Ozzy Osbourne passing?
Oh, I feel really sad, but really glad he made that last concert. Like, that's what everyone's gift should be. If there's a concert, a birthday age, you want to reach that 90th birthday, you want that concert, you get it. Awesome. He made it. But he made it to his last concert.
And that, by the way, that is kind of the, you know, this is not one of those things that, like, hit everyone out of left field. It was very different than when all of a sudden, you know, you think about, like, you know, when we were on the air and talking about what happened.
Oh, to Taylor Hawkins.
Taylor
yeah,
Hawkins,
that was so sudden.
That found, that hit everyone in a very, like, whoa, what? Ozzy less so in the sense that, you know, he was old, had a lot of health issues, et cetera. But... he did get to do that final show, and I think for so many people, I think they feel it was a poetic and almost fitting way for him to go out on the throne that he created.
Of course.
What the heck? That was wonderful. I'm sure it's hard for his family and everybody else to lose him, but the band members hadn't been together for 20 years. They said 20 years. Oh, my God.
What's your favorite Ozzy or Black Sabbath song?
Oh, you gotta go with Crazy Train.
What?
Yeah, Crazy Train.
That's actually what she took to get to the interview with Jake. She loves, as you know, she's a big fan of mass transit.
That's one of the original names of the Metro.
Yeah, she's actually the founder of the Crazy Train.
Oh, you gotta go with Crazy Train.
Yeah?
Yeah, Crazy Train.
Can you give me an all aboard?
On aboard the Crazy Train.
Jesus.
Oh, my voice sucks. They didn't know what song. I'm like, how out of all of Ozzy's, how could you not know?
Give me one more all aboard.
On aboard the Crazy Train.
That's right. There she is. Moist choice.
It's like this. It's like he's alive again. I can hear him.
Does he ever really die if Moist Joyce is yelling, all aboard the Crazy Train?
That's his legacy.
It's a beautiful thing. Billy Corgan joining us later this morning. We'll be tributizing. And let me say hi to Jess quickly. Go ahead, you're on K-Rock. Good morning, Jess.
Hi. I just wanted to quickly point out that yesterday, Donnie was live on the air, and he announced Ozzy's death. Doesn't it sound like he was smiling?
Well, I think he always kind of sounds like he's got this happy, dopey thing going on.
Yeah.
So
shtick.
Yeah. You know, actually, after we talked about it, a lot of people were giving Johnny praise, saying he did a great job with the announcement, especially as somebody who is, taking over and, you know, doing a temporary fill-in, and then all of a sudden you get this big news and you don't know how to handle it. You get short notice. It's high pressure.
You know, would have done a great job, Nicole Alvarez. She would have crushed it.
Dude.
She thrives.
I was thinking, I wonder what Nicole would be saying right now.
Yeah, she would have absolutely slayed this, but she's on a much-needed vacation, one of her 9,000 vacation days. So... hold on, Jess. Thank you for calling. This is what Johnny said when he broke the news.
K-Rock, it's Postmaster Johnny. I regret to inform you about some terrible news right now. The Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne, has just passed away. I'm just as stunned and shocked as you, because I was literally playing Planet Caravan on my drive into work today. And, you know, it's reported right now he was surrounded by loved ones and family. And his passing just comes a week after his farewell tour, so... I want everybody to do me a favor. Turn it up. This one's for Ozzy Osbourne. Miss you, buddy. It's world famous K-Rock.
Johnny's good friend.
I miss you, buddy.
Got to take a break. When we get back, AMA time, we have the bookie. This is very fascinating, Allie. I can't believe we were able to get this guy, because I think he's going to jail potentially for up to 18 years.
He just posted a video about how he's going to prison.
Yeah, this is Shohei Ohtani's translator's bookie. This is the guy that took hundreds of millions of dollars of bets from Shohei Ohtani's translator. And potentially he is going to go to jail for a long time. But we wanted to do an AMA. It's been a while. So let's do an AMA with a bookie. Any question you've ever wanted to ask a bookie, especially a guy that was involved in the Shohei Ohtani drama. We'll get to that after this on K-Rock. K-Rock, Klein Alley Show. Later this morning, Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins on to pay some respects to Ozzy Osbourne, and we get you to Dodger Stadium, but not for Dodgers baseball, for some My Chem on Sunday. Right now, though, on our phone, the man that is in the center of the Shohei Ohtani sports betting scandal. And this is a story, when this first broke, Allie, we attempted to get this guy on with us, Matthew Boyer, and he was unable to come on with us because the case is still very much ongoing. I think it still is, to the point where he may have to report for up to 18 years in federal prison.
Yeah, but the initial part of the court case is over, so he's now allowed to say things that he wasn't able to say before, I believe.
He's got a raw and unfiltered story that he tells in his new book called Recalibrate, available through his Instagram at Matthew Boyer, and that's BOWYER5. We will put all that information on our socials at Klein Alley Show, but I did want to welcome Matthew to the show right now. Thank you for joining us on K-Rock for this very exciting AMA.
Hey, thank you for having me. Good morning.
You started as a paper boy in Orange County, delivering paper, and then you have, over the past 30 years, grown to this career where you have now handled over $1 billion in people's wagers, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Think about that, Allie, for just a second. Driving around, throwing papers, doesn't even exist anymore, that job. And now this guy's dealing with bets of upwards of $50 million bets. First question out of the gate in this AMA is, what is the one highest bet you ever took?
You know, I've taken $1 million many times on Super Bowl bets, but really the highest bet that I ever actually, instead of taking, I've made was $4.6 million on the Kansas City Chiefs in the 2023 Super Bowl.
Wait, that was the biggest bet that you made or that you took?
That I made myself. I actually bet $4.6 million myself, so I was clearly a very large gambler as well.
Mm-hmm. And would you consider yourself a successful gambler? Because there's, like, people who'd gamble regularly that win, and then there's, like, you know, Drake.
No, I'd be completely lying if I said I was successful at it. I would label myself as a degenerate that got high off my own supply and my business. And for 20 years, I've been gambling at the highest level in the country.
And you, in a recent article I was reading, that you think about half of professional athletes are betting on sports. Are they betting on their own games?
No, that's an article that came out in the Post. I definitely do believe that at least 50% of athletes gamble. But he kind of wrote that in a sense where speculation would be that as far as on their own sport, I would say that's very minimal. I mean, most of these athletes, I've been around a lot of them, you know, realize the consequences for their actions and stay away from that. Of course, there's many coming out now that don't. But I do believe that's a really small percentage, less than 1%, that are actually probably doing that.
If you have a question for a bookie, get them to us now on the text line, 800-520-1067. It is AMA time here on the Klein Alley Show. It's been a while since we've done this. So let's go ahead with this. 818 wants to know right out of the gate, what is the worst bet that the public makes in general? What is a bet that is almost always, when you receive it, you know it's going to be a losing bet?
That's a great question. Usually it's prop bets because the juice on the... You know, when I say juice, let's say the money line, if you're betting a wager that's instead of minus 110 on a prop wager, a lot of times they rev the line up to minus 130, minus 140. And because they're prop bets, they're not as high volume, and you're kind of taking the worst of it, no matter what side you're betting in that case.
And what is the team that people bet the most on, or the athlete that people bet the most on?
Patrick Mahomes, for sure. You know, nowadays, although I'm no longer in the business, I know that that's the way it was when I was, you know, in the business. And it kind of still is because he's still amazing. And then clearly the favorites, whoever the teams are that are the best. It doesn't mean they cover the spread the most, but they're just the best teams. And, you know, for a while when I was really having a rough time in the business, Tom Brady was my arch enemy because he just continued to win and cover the spread. You know, obviously that was 10 years ago.
But. Yeah, we grew up all thinking that bookies, when you owe them money, will break your knees. But 310 wants to know, what's the modern day equivalent of that now? So if you owe a bookie money and you can't pay them, what is currently in the what do you do? Put an unflattering picture of them on Instagram? What is the current breaking of the knees that happens?
I mean, everybody has a different tactic. I mean, for the most part, it's really on you as a bookmaker to vet out your customer, make sure the referral process is strong. And just learn to walk away, because at the end of the day, you know, you're going to end up in the same shoes I'm in, which is going to court and eventually going to prison if you are on your hands on people and things like that. And a lot of these, most of these bookmakers realize and understand that.
So you are definitely going to prison, or you're waiting to find out what your sentence is going to be, and it might be kind of like they give you a pretty big spread, so to speak, as to how long you're going to be in there.
Yeah, I go in front of the judge August 29th, so about, you know, 4 weeks. And their speculation based on the sentencing guidelines are 36 to 46 months.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under. But, you know, we'll see. At the end of the day, the reason I say that is I've done everything from mitigation process, you know, to show the judge and the court that not only am I remorseful for what I've done, but, you know, Gamblers Anonymous, giving back, you know, speaking to college students, anything to help with people with addiction and so forth. So we'll see. But 3 to 4 years is what I'm looking at.
Matthew Boyer is on with us right now. He's the man in the center of the Shohei Ohtani sports betting scandal, former OC paperboy turned billion-dollar bookie. And when you were taking bets from Shohei Ohtani's bookie interpreter, did you know that that's who you were dealing with, or does everyone kind of come under aliases and then you found out what was going on?
No, I actually met him directly, so I knew it was him from day one. The account started off really small. It was literally a $1,000 per game, $8,000 credit line, like a lot of relationships do. And, you know, obviously it spiraled quickly out of control. But I met him directly at a poker game right after San Diego Padres Angels game, and that's how our relationship started.
And could you tell that this was a shady situation after a while, or are you trying to stay out of the drama of it all?
You know, I had over 1,200 customers, and one of the things that I would say the majority of them liked about me is I stayed out of their business.
Right.
A lot of times people were hiding from their wives or husbands or whatever the case is, or maybe, you know, just want to really remain anonymous, whether you're an athlete, celebrity, or just a business person. And so I didn't ask too many questions initially. Of course, I vetted my customers when I was in that business. And I would, you know, try to make sure that they could handle the credit lines they had. But this thing parlayed quickly out of control. And, you know, he was very honorable with me. I didn't ask many questions because never, you know, the Japanese culture in general is pretty private. And, you know, he did everything he asked and I did everything he asked. So our relationship, you know, granted it's in a bad situation now. Clearly we're both going to prison. Well, he's in prison now. But I never, you know, foresaw where we are today happening. And more importantly, I never even knew that he was part of any fraud or stealing.
What is do you think, because in prison, running books in prison is a very legitimate operation, and you are obviously skilled at that. You're supposed to stay away from that, but you've got to have a prison skill. So unless you learn tattooing or how to make pruno in your toilet, do you think there's any way that you start running the book in prison again? Because a lot of gambling that goes on there for honey buns and fifis and cigarette butts, you know the drill.
Yeah, I mean, I'll stay away from any of that. I'm hoping to. I have five kids, and, you know, I need to get home to be a father, provider, and protector, which is something I failed at, clearly, because I'll be inside of a prison, and I'll never let that down, you know, inside my head. But that being said, I have to move forward and recalibrate, which is why I named my book that, and figure out the next measure in my life, which I'm doing now. I'm working for a company actually selling, you know, AstroTurf and front and backyards and anything I can to provide for my family at the moment.
Man, you went from newspaper boy to big betting mogul, and now you're selling AstroTurf?
Yeah, I mean, I have to, obviously, the minute I lost my business where I was making quite a bit of money, you know, I don't just sit on my hands and hope that money falls out of the sky.
Right.
So I had to go to work, and that's what I'm doing now.
I'm going
to
rapid fire these questions because there's a ton of them on the text line for you. It's an AMA with a bookie. Out of the 1,200 clients you had, how many of them were women? That's what 949 wants to know.
I would say about 3%.
3%, Allie.
And what was the biggest bet that you lost?
I lost over $1 million many times, seriously. But I would say, I think the biggest bet I remember losing was $1.4 million, yeah.
What was that bet? I know you remember every detail about it. What was it?
I lost on the Eagles against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Donovan McNabb.
Oh, man.
And did you ever bet or take bets on scandals and politics, or is it mainly sports?
You know, my website offered everything, whether, you know, who was going to be president, who was, how much time they're going to receive in prison. I mean, whatever prop bets were out there, we offered them.
I one time bet on if the temperature would get above 100 degrees. And does that make me a degenerate?
Well, no, it makes you definitely betting some weird things, which I'm guilty of as well. But degenerate is a whole different level. I doubt you are. I mean, I don't know you, but I doubt it.
Well, you're wrong. You lost that.
909 wanted to know, how do you know initially that someone sucks at betting?
I mean, usually they're chasing. They're making wagers that, you know, there's no mathematical edge, or more importantly, they're not doing any sort of handicapping. They're just betting because it's on TV. They're betting because they just lost the last game. You know, doing all the things that kind of draw us in as a gamblers to just continue to have action. It's really more of an action junkie.
626 wants to know, what's the spread that Ozzy Osbourne is reincarnated into a bat?
I would say 50%.
Wow, that's pretty high.
Bet. I like that. Do you believe that games are rigged? There's a lot of comments. People have theories. There's former professional referees that have said there's an interest from the leagues for outcomes to go a certain way. You have studied these lines inside and out. You've seen what goes on. You've watched things happen. You've lost a lot of money. But do you believe professional sports are rigged?
In some instances, yeah, I know that they are. When I say that, I don't mean NFL, baseball. I'm talking lower-level stuff like ATP, tennis tour. Clearly, there's been some UFC fights that, you know, lower-level ones that have had some instances. And then, of course, you go back to, you know, college basketball. That's occurred. I mean, headaches, you know, Smith and the Arizona State scandal. So, truth be told, yeah, there are many instances. The major sports, though, I would say no.
Huh, interesting. 909 said, I have $100,000 I'm looking to invest/bet on. What should I invest in or bet on?
That's a tough question. I mean, you know, you're just gambling. So I would recommend, if he has $100,000, unless it's he could light it on fire and take a chance with it completely, I would put it in stock market or something, you know, real estate.
Final few questions quickly because Matthew Boyer is on with us. He is the guy that was in the center of the whole Shohei Ohtani sports betting scandal. He's potentially going to go to prison for a long time as a result of what was happening. Was running a book for many, many years. Billions of dollars going back and forth, paying people. What was your method of paying the clients? Was it a big sack of cash? Were you FedExing money back and forth? How did you end up paying out some of your big gamblers?
You know, every week it was Venmo, Cash App, Apple Pay, wire transfers, cash, FedEx, and even crypto. So it really, it was a whole different number of things. Just depend on the customer, where they're located, and really how they wanted to be paid.
What percentage of the people that are on Instagram claiming that they are professional sports handicappers and they can make you money if you buy their picks from them are legitimate, and what percentage of them are BS?
I would say 98% of them are BS.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Literally.
Okay.
That's a lot of people.
Only the real ones that are going to prison are the real ones.
They're the ones that did it right for long enough.
Yeah.
But truth be told, the ones who are not even telling you who they bet on are the ones that are professionals. They're not
going to sell you their picks. If they've got a system that's working, they're just going to
keep... It's the same with the stock market. People who are giving stock market, you have to invest in this company, this company, this company. If they really knew, they wouldn't tell you.
And final question, now that you spent some time with Ali and I, what is the over-under on how many years this show survives on K-Rock?
Well, you guys are both pretty good. I'm going to give you 10.
Whoa!
10 years! I'll take the under for $1 million right now. Let's go ahead and do that. Hey, check out Matthew's book. Thanks for joining us. I know it was not easy. I know you've got your future to think about. We appreciate it. Thank you for hanging out. Of course, the book available, it's called Recalibrate, through his Instagram. We'll put up all the links on ours, but you can find him at Matthew Boyer, and that's BOWYER5.
Yeah.
The man responsible for many, many bets. Someone texting us saying, I think I owe this guy money. Is it possible that people still owe you money?
Well, let's just say I'm owed over $45 million, but unfortunately, I'm not allowed to collect any of it. So,
right. Just buy some AstroTurf.
Yeah, I know. There's a few questions here about AstroTurf. We don't have time for those.
Thank you. We'll take those. We'll get back. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. This is New Sublime. They world premiered it on this very show. It's called Ensenada on K-Rock.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. Hey, Felicia, if you can celebrate only by whispering, you're going to go to see Mike Hemet at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, my God, okay, I will totally do that. I'm so excited.
Okay, great. Perfect. Hold on 1 second. Those tickets are yours. Oh, do not. I almost heard that. Librarian celebration. Go for it.
Okay,
this is like winning ASMR.
Yeah, it really is. That's from now on. I mean, I like when people get all excited and yell, but every once in a while, I get it. Hold on 1 second, Felicia. Save all your...
You be quiet.
Keep it down. Save that excitement for the show on Sunday. Hold on 1 second. That's Felicia. Don't worry. We got more of those tickets coming up, but we're going to clear out the phone lines because in about 5 minutes, get you on a standby boarding list for K-Rock's Road Trip USA. This time it's Lumineers. And you'll potentially be seeing them in Chicago. Definitely, though, right here in Southern California. Now your news.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News.
All right, I just wanted to share one more great moment from Ozzy Osbourne, a man who pulled off guyliner like nobody else, among other things. And there are so many great stories about Ozzy that many people have shared. But this moment happened back in 2003 when Ozzy sang at a Cubs-Dodger game at Wrigley Field.
Oh, it's beautiful.
This was over 22 years ago, and this is how he sounded. This is, I think, one of the best moments ever of all the ones that we have.
It's the greatest. Take me out to the ball game ever recorded.
Had no idea what was going on.
No, but it's
fine. This was, again, 22 years ago.
But this also song, this is like an American song. It's not really like, I'm not saying it's not a well-known song and he didn't live here for a long time.
Oh, and this is America's game, right? I mean, this is not necessarily something he should know everything about.
Right, but
real crazy crowd starts singing with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Can't hear you. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's go out to the bar. Let's go out to the river. Take me in every lesson. I don't remember what I have
Billy Corgan was there because
they
was at a Cubs game.
Yeah, he said, come on, let's get some lunch.
He's not wrong. I've been talking to Billy Corgan all about that in other moments. He joins us in about an hour to pay some respects. And listen, you know, Jake was in the streets talking to all these diehard Ozzy fans. And some of them actually said some beautiful things.
Horrible news. Such an influence on everybody in rock and roll. Words can't describe what we lost today. It's just awful, but you kind of saw it coming, you know, at the show, and we know he's been sick for a while, so God bless him, and I hope he's in a better place and not suffering anymore.
So, you know, listen, everyone seems to kind of understand it, and sad, of course, but in so many ways, legends never die, as we've learned. So, yeah. Congratulations on what a career, Ozzy Osbourne.
Absolutely. All right.
Our boss didn't like him, we found out. That's interesting.
He didn't say he didn't like him. He just said he wasn't, like, super into his music.
The quote from our boss, Kevin Weatherly, is
never liked the guy. He's the only person.
Is that what he said?
Never liked the guy. Never got. Never got a shtick. What he said?
Wow.
He didn't say any of that.
He said something like that.
Didn't he get the whole Prince of Darkness thing? Yeah. He thought it was a gimmick.
Weird when men wear eyeliner. I don't like it.
Not for me. No. Guy's not a fan of the Cowboys. That's for sure.
All right.
Called him a queer. Actually, what he said, which I thought was interesting.
All right, let's move on to aliens in Compton, shall we? You can explain away most alien encounters these days. They're just unbelievable. But shaky Ring doorbell footage, I think we know we can always trust. And in this Ring camera, it picked up an alien walking across a woman's doorstep in Compton.
Have aliens landed in Compton? That depends on who you ask. Take a look at this video. We have it looped several times. It's gaining a lot of traction online, especially from paranormal bloggers and YouTubers.
Oh, thank God.
That's who you're counting.
They're paranormal bloggers have something to talk about.
The woman who captured the video, Jessica Ortiz, says her doorbell camera picked up something moving through her yard on June 5th around 1 a.m. But the motion-sensored cameras on the outside of her home didn't pick up anything. Speculation of what it ranges from, people carrying plastic bags to children, and some who say it's really an alien.
Yeah, and you can see in the footage, it looks like alien costume that you would pick up at a store. I mean, it's the traditional, you know, big head that's going backwards behind its neck and everything. It kind of looks like a cartoon version of an alien. But it is weird that the camera picked it up, but motion sensors picked up nothing.
Aliens in Compton should be a movie, if it's not
great
already.
Movie.
Great title. It's a movie I would go to. And secondly, if the range is, it could be anything from plastic bags.
To children.
I'm going to say that's the more obvious answer to then aliens.
I'm going to go with both. Children with plastic bags that are playing a prank on somebody.
We get into a brand new hour of the show right now.
Wait. I have another thing to say.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to share another story of someone I did not mush.
Oh, well, not yet, at least. Go ahead.
I know you say I mushed Ozzy Osbourne, but
sure
I did not mush Joshua Jackson. He has a new project that
to
share with you.
You interrupted. We were going to start a brand new
film trilogy with Katie Holmes. Let me take you back to 2003 again, Clyde.
We're good.
Dawson's Creek was a hit show, Joey and Pacey forever.
Jesus
now they
Christ.
Are reuniting for Boring. A film trilogy called Happy Hours, a trilogy of romantic dramedies to be directed by Katie Holmes, and it's the first time that they've done a project together since the teen drama in 2003.
Well, R.I.P. to all those people. That's sad.
R.I.P. to that last minute.
Sorry, Allie, just mushed all of your futures. Let's get into a brand new hour of the show right now. First thing we do is get you on a standby boarding list. Call 20, Lumineers, Chicago, in your future, 800-520-1067. Let's go.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.